you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch was probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio.
All right, welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm here with a guest who is a name that I've definitely heard, you know, fairly often before. I was trying to think about it before we sat down to do this, and I know I've seen your name appear on whether it's show posters or other people sharing things related to your music, or I even think you've been recommended a few times by other artists who've been on the show. So your name has been out there, but I haven't actually, until we decided to do this, really delved into what your music is like. And I was pleasantly surprised. It's not whatever my impression was of what it was going to be, based on nothing, really. But I think the best way to start this off is if you want to introduce yourself and give a bit of background about what it is you do as an artist.
Yeah, I'm Jace. Thanks for having me, first of all. I'm a 22-year-old person from Winnipeg. And yeah, I've been playing in the scene for the last few years and focusing up and releasing my original music. And my originals are kind of all over the place, style-wise. I like to say I'm like soul, funk, pop, but really, I just have a bunch of songs that are different things and just turned out how they did. So yeah, it's kind of all over the place, funk, soul, folk, rock.
Yeah, well, and I think that the funk and soul and R&B side of things is what I wasn't expecting. And I don't know what I was expecting exactly, but usually when I see someone, it's their own name as the name of the project. It's typically either a singer-songwriter, fairly mellow sort of style, or it's an indie rock thing. And I was kind of expecting, maybe unfairly, that it was going to be one of those two things. But I was pleasantly surprised by the funk side of things and the fact you had horns on a bunch of songs, and it was very, like, very groove-heavy. So I guess, where does that come from? Like, what are the influences on you that made you start playing that kind of stuff?
Well, I grew up in a very musical house. My dad has always played in bands his whole life, and my mom's a music teacher.
Okay.
So I started playing guitar when I was like grade 7, and I had a little band in middle school, and we'd play rock, and yeah, I learned Jimi Hendrix and stuff. But then in high school, there was this band that you could join, like, through the school that would meet after school, called Superphonic, and it was like, it was like a jazz funk band where you just play songs with a focus on improvising.
Okay.
And we would go and gig and stuff. So just the people that I met, the friends that I had, just kind of influenced me towards more funky directions. I discovered Wolfpack,
okay,
which is one of my favorite bands. But yeah, I always liked Michael Jackson and Earth, Wind & Fire. And then in high school, I leaned more into that, and then started playing in one of my bands called the Mother Funk, and we were playing funky stuff, and yeah, kind of all started in high school.
Cool. Well, yeah, it's maybe an unusual route to take, I think, for someone your age anyway. I mean, you don't see a lot of, especially going back to that kind of 70s stuff too, right? I mean, it's not, usually when people, in their early 20s and younger, sort of delve back into the 70s, it's like you're saying, they go back to the Jimi Hendrix stuff, they go back to Led Zeppelin, they're definitely sort of more in that classic rock sort of territory, but you went sort of the other direction, and they have like the funk, soul, R&B, almost disco sort of vibes and some of that stuff too.
Yeah, like, I like Jimi Hendrix and Led Zeppelin and all that rock, but there's just something about funk and groovy stuff, it's just so fun.
Yeah.
Like, and it's kind of, it can be kind of goofy, which I really like. like Wolfpack is a great example. They're just so kind of tongue-in-cheek with everything they do, and just like the wacky outfits that classic funk bands wear.
Totally.
It's just fun and goofy.
Well, it's all about a party, right? I mean, funk is definitely like get up and dance and have a good time music.
Yeah, and I'm not like I don't take myself too seriously. I'm not like trying to be I don't know, the funness appeals to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. I guess the thing with playing that kind of stuff too is I mean, as a listener, I feel like I've seen enough people play funk and soul and R&B over the years live, and it seems like it's one of those genres or a group of genres where you can either nail it or you just brutally miss it, right? Like it seems like because it's so rhythmically based and it's so the groove is so important that you see people and they unexpectedly just absolutely kill it, or something's wrong and it doesn't quite click. And it seems like it should be simple because a lot of this stuff is very you know, very limited number of chords and it's all based around rhythm. But how did you sort of develop I guess being able to stay in that groove and play funk influenced stuff without screwing up the rhythmic side of things? Not that you would screw it up, you know, necessarily, but you know what I mean? It's like a trick, maybe more than technical musical ability, to just get that rhythmic sort of feel.
Yeah. Well, I think when it comes to my bands, I just surround myself with players who are really good and much better than me.
Okay.
And yeah, I don't really know. I like to play what I play, and I do it as much as I can.
That helps. Definitely.
Yeah.
So you're about to release your, at the time of recording this, you're about to release your first EP, but you've been doing this for a while now. I mean, you have songs online dating back to, you know, 2020 and probably even before that. So what is the sort of origin of this record you're putting out? How long have these songs been in the works and all that stuff?
These songs I've been working on for a couple years now, and they're finally coming out June 15th. This is before or after June 15th, be aware that it's almost out or it's out. But yeah, these songs I've been working on for a couple years. It kind of originated when I had a bunch of them I wrote while I had COVID a couple Christmases ago. And there was just nothing to do except for write songs and play Red Dead Redemption. So that's what I did.
But that's like the opposite of a like goofy party fun music. I mean, like the vibe of having COVID is not, doesn't necessarily lend itself to kind of upbeat, poppy, hooky music, right? Like, where did that come from in mired in illness?
That's true. But it's also like you have all day, every day, like, you don't have to do anything.
Right.
So it's just, it's easier to be creative when you don't really have a time limit and just have fun with stuff, even though I was sick. But yeah, that, and fun songs weren't the only thing, songs I wrote. I was also writing sad songs and whatever.
Right.
Came to me.
Well, and I guess yeah. the timeline too. I mean, when COVID happened and the pandemic happened and all shows were canceled and no one really knew what was happening, that kind of uncertainty meant that you didn't have any kind of timeline to work on anything, right? A lot of people were super creative during that period because it was just so open-ended. It was like, this could last a week, this could last a year, this could last 3 years. no one knew, right?
Yeah, it was really uncertain. And I had, like, I graduated high school in 2019.
So right at the time of that, like, yeah.
Yeah, like I was the last year, like the next year after me, their grad was ruined and everything. But yeah, I was like, I want to be a musician. But I didn't even really know what to do with that. And then COVID happened and I was like, oh.
Shit.
I just started playing a little bit around and then COVID happened.
Do you think that having that experience of sort of starting your career as a musician during this global pandemic, did that give you maybe a different perspective on how to just go about, you know, being an artist than maybe someone who was already 5 years into their creativity or the playing out at that point?
I guess so. Like, yeah, I think it was kind of a benefit that I had. I had just a bunch of time. And then when things kind of opened up a little... Well, I started... So when I was a teenager, I was a part of this program called Just TV out of the Broadway Neighborhood Center.
Oh, cool.
It's a music program for youth. And eventually I started working there when I was like 18. So right around COVID times. So yeah, I just had a bunch of time to... Right, and I was working at Just TV, so I was learning to produce stuff on Logic.
So that's very convenient for about to be locked at home with nothing to do but work on music, right? Having that training like right beforehand.
Yeah, it was not bad at all. Like, I had lots of time to do stuff, but when the world did open up, I got playing as much as I could.
Yeah. And what has that been like, sort of, you know, now we're a couple of years sort of into the world being open and shows happening again. What has the response been to your stuff? Because like I said, I've seen your name a lot. I've seen it show up on show listings and elsewhere. Like, I mean, obviously you're getting out there. What's it been like as far as, you know, audience reaction and people, whether they're enjoying your stuff or what you're hearing?
It's been awesome. Like, I mean, I've been doing a whole bunch of different types of shows. Like, I've been playing with multiple different bands and doing cover stuff and doing original stuff and doing solo shows.
Yeah.
But it's been great. Like, I feel like what always attracted me to doing music was live performing. And yeah, just being able to play for all the different people I've played for. It's been great. And people, I think, like what I do. And it's been a couple of years of doing that now. So now I'm trying to focus up a little bit on doing everything and just putting all my energy into releasing stuff and doing the original thing.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you earlier, you know, I mean, I don't want to dwell on the pandemic. I feel like I've talked about it. Well, I have talked about it for years on the show too, just, you know, recording these during that time. But I mean, you're by yourself. You've learned this audio software and stuff. You're writing songs, you're recording them, I'm sure. What is the process of writing your songs? Because like we said at the beginning, I mean, these are very fleshed out, the recordings, with the funk sound. There's horns on a lot of them, there's keyboards, there's drums, there's all kinds of stuff happening. How do you transition your song from something you write individually at home to then being, you know, part of this larger sound? Like, do you have to tweak the songs a lot from their initial phase to being a full band thing, or do you write them? I guess maybe a better way of approaching that question is, did they work as a solo? Can you perform the same song solo without doing too much to them from the recorded or from the full band versions?
That's a good question. I feel like certain songs work really well acoustically and some just don't. Like, I have this one song, Right Back, that I released in February. That I think it's a really fun, like, energetic band song.
Okay.
But on its own acoustically, I don't know. I don't really vibe with it acoustically. But Yeah, like a lot of my songs I do write on an acoustic guitar, and or sometimes I write them like through Logic.
Okay.
But yeah, it I don't know, it's always cool hearing your songs fleshed out with a real band of people playing them.
Yeah.
And it just originated in your room.
Well, how much of that is planned? Like, I mean, how much of that are you thinking of in your head when you're writing it on acoustic guitar? Like, there's going to be horns, there's going to be keyboards, going to be whatever on the finished product. Do you sort of imagine that ahead of time, or is that something that comes together once you have other people in the room and you're all sort of fleshing the song out together?
A lot of it I think of on my own, but a lot of it comes out of my bandmates when I presented to them. And yeah, everyone who I play with in my band has added awesome things to my songs that I wouldn't have thought of. Like my drummer Paul is always doing wacky drum things that I just, yeah, I would never think of. But a lot of it I do think of on my own time, but there's just something added when you get together with really good musicians.
Definitely, yeah, yeah.
I was born here at the railroad, spent all my life watching train cars go by. All of my dreams were of elsewhere, and I could jump on any train and roll by. But I always chose not to leave here, even when watching friends say their goodbyes. 'Cause even alone, there's something about home I couldn't leave if I tried. So here I am at the railroad, still spending time watching train cars go by. Chose not to leave here, even when watching friends say their goodbyes. 'Cause even alone, something about home I couldn't leave if I tried. So here I am at the railroad, still spending time watching train cars go by.
Because this is, like we've said a few times, it's energetic music, it's fun music, it's goofy at times. I imagine the live show is a big part of it. It seems like the type of thing that would be fun to see live, right? How much, how much do you put into sort of making sure that the show is fun? Because a lot of people will play a show and they'll just stand there and play the songs, and that's fine, and there's a time and place for that for sure. But, I mean, usually when you're listening to more sort of upbeat music, even if they're sad songs too, it's still an upbeat sort of style of music. The live show and the energy there is a big part of it, right? Is that something that you take into account, that you are sort of thinking about when you're putting these songs together?
For sure. Like, I love playing live, and I've played in a lot of cover bands playing bars and
yeah,
weddings and different things. And I've developed a little repertoire of shticks for live shows.
What kind of shticks? Like, give me an example of one, some of the shtick you use.
Well, like, sometimes I'll jump into the audience and make them do a limbo thing, and then I'll limbo while ripping a sick guitar solo.
Right on.
Or just like, I like engaging the audience and get people singing along or trying to make people laugh and doing whatever.
Well, maybe the reverse to that question then is how do you capture that kind of energy on a recording? Obviously, you can't have the doing limbo and guitar solo in the crowd, you know, when you're in a studio playing down a song, but how do you sort of recreate some elements of that energy when you're recording and you're not playing to an audience? Or do you? I mean, is that important to you to have that kind of feeling in the recorded stuff?
Yeah, I want it to feel fun and... I don't know, it's kind of hard to capture, I guess. With my songs, I just try to... I mean, I'm still learning and I'm just trying to... this is my first time releasing a project and I'm figuring it out. Yeah, I just try to translate the songs into the recording. I don't know. I feel like I don't really have a...
No, that's fine. No worries. It's a
great answer, but...
Well, there might not be an answer to that, right? I mean, it might be a different sort of approach in both settings, but...
Yeah, I think it's important to capture... Like, it can be easy to get bogged down in, oh, I have to make this song represent me and everyone's going to hear this and they're going to think that of me. And it can be easy. You can feel serious.
Right.
When you're recording, but I think putting that fun into it, you just got to have fun when you're doing it. And that comes through, right. You know?
Yeah. Well, and I guess the other thing too is once it's released, I mean, it's sort of out of your hands anyway, right? The way people are going to react to it is it's up to them at that point. You've done everything you can. And whatever they get, whatever emotion or feeling they get from it, that's kind of out of your hands.
Yeah, it's true. And that's kind of nerve-wracking to have your work represent you and have people have opinions on you. But yeah, you just got to find a way to have fun when you're putting it together, and that'll shine through.
Yeah. So, you know, we're recording this before the EP is released. It's a podcast. Someone could hear it a year from now. They could hear it next week. They could hear it whenever. What's the best way to find this music? How can someone hear the record once it's out?
You can look it up on all the streaming services, Spotify, Apple Music, all the others. Yeah, just at Jace Bodner everywhere, YouTube.
Cool.
But yeah, I just want to shout out one thing. So the EP is called Don't Ruin the Love, and the title track, I just spent the last like 5-6 months animating a Lego music video.
That's awesome.
For the song. Because the song, it's like you're breaking up with somebody and comparing your relationship's quality to a TV show that went on just way too long, that should have ended like 3 seasons ago.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, it's melding my 3 loves of pop culture and nerdy things and music and Lego, because I happen to be a lifelong Lego fan and collector. So by the time that you're hearing this,
Go watch the video. Yeah, go find it.
Available. So go watch it, because it was a lot of work and it's a sick video.
I bet it's a lot of work. Yeah, I can't imagine. I mean, you know, animating anything, stop motion, which I assume is how you did it, takes forever. And that's like even doing 10 seconds of video and doing a whole song. I can see why it took you 5 or 6 months to put that together.
Yeah, it took a very long time. But I worked with 47 Filmworks, who's a great video production company, great team. But check out the video. It's going to be great.
When I was young, I had a friend. I can't remember his face, but I won't forget the time we spent. The years went fast, I moved away. And as I grew older, I forgot his name. The whole world changed. I said goodbye in the
the summertime. July was a lifetime ago. Oh, I got a call from your mother crying. Wish it I'd known you were grown, that you would be gone so soon. I had a dream, I called you up. We went to some restaurant and we just talked. It'd been so long. But all dreams end and you're still gone. It's been a few years since your family lost you, and it's been hard. I said goodbye in the summertime. July was a lifetime ago.
And then if someone wants to, you know, find out more about what you're doing as far as upcoming shows, you know, potential future releases, depending on when they hear this, what's the best way to sort of follow you, track you down online?
Well, my social media is at Jace Bodner. I'm most active on Instagram. I'm getting a website made right now, which is not out, but it'll probably be some variation of jacebodner.com.
Right. So if you look up your name, you'll find you. People will find you.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And then, I was going to say, you know, you mentioned the Broadway Neighborhood Center earlier, and this isn't really relevant to what you were talking about, but I love that place. It's when I was, I'm 20 years older than you, but when I was, 18, 19 years old, 20 years old, there used to be punk shows in the basement there almost every weekend. And we'd have like 10 bands playing, more, 12 bands, and it was ridiculous. Like the whole thing would be definitely a fire hazard, crammed full of kids, and it just constant. There was punk shows there all the time. It was the best. And so when I heard that the Just TV or the TV thing was happening there a few years ago, I thought it was awesome because it's a really cool little building, and it's nice to see that they're still doing youth stuff.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. they're a great program. Like, yeah, and so many people have come out of Just TV too. But yeah, if not for the Just TV folks, I don't know, they just, they put together, they helped me produce a bunch of my songs. They taught me like so much of what I know.
Yeah.
They're great.
That's awesome. I love them. That's good to hear. And it's always nice to hear there's like community organizations like that that are still around, still helping people in this weird dystopian future that we live in where everyone's like, you know, learning things online and stuff. But there's still that kind of hands-on stuff with youth. It's great. I know there's like a lot of hip-hop programs in Winnipeg too that are doing the same sort of thing with aspiring rappers and producers and stuff. And so, yeah, it's always cool to hear about that stuff.
Yeah, for sure. It's hard to learn on your own, like YouTube tutorials or anything. I'm a hands-on. I need somebody to teach me, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So do you want to just plug the release of the EP one more time, when people can get it and where they can find it?
Yep, it's called Don't Ruin the Love. It is out on June 15th, 2024. So if this is after June 15th, 2024 that you're hearing this, it's out. You can go listen to it. You can go check out the videos on my YouTube. And stay tuned for shows and things and other things that I do.
Right on.
Maisie, what you say and do are different things. You're like Inception, girl, you're confusing. And I don't understand. Wish I could hear you clearer. You love me, then you let me go. Should I believe that? Was it really true? Or was it simply you saying what I wanna hear? Oh, Maisie, why did you have to come into my life and change it? Maisie, I didn't ask you. Come what?
love, but you love me too.